Chapter 14. Sturndrang, the Underhive of Molior. Ever since he had been a prisoner on the Volgorar Reef, Zartath had preferred his own company to that of others. He valued the bonds of brotherhood and had missed being a part of a chapter, hence his decision to adopt a new one. But his mind was most at peace when he was alone. Agatone had asked him to maintain a watchful eye, but he could not do that surrounded by the unwashed masses of this hole they had found themselves in. He needed distance. He craved silence. But silence was not so easy to come by these days. The keening had begun as soon as the klaxons had ended, he later realized. With the clangor still ringing in his ears, he had not been able to differentiate the echo of that from the tinnitus now gnawing at his reason. It hurt. Moreover, it encouraged certain feral instincts, and Zartath hoped that some solitude would prevent him doing something regrettable. Slipping from his perch outside the surgery, he had gone back out into the square and walked until he was beyond the settlement's borders. He ignored the fearful glances, the half-muttered threats. Blooding his claws on such wretches would be dishonorable. Sometimes his martial honor was all that Zartath believed he had left, so he clung to it in the vain hope it would save his soul. Aboard the Vulcan's Wrath and the Forge Hammer after that, he had affirmed this belief, staring into the eyes of his cracked and broken battle helm, its coal-black surface dented and scraped just as he was. Sleep came rarely and for short spates only. Were he not transhuman, Zartath would have died from chronic insomnia by now. As it was, he clung on, sustained by unspoken grief and a barely caged anger he did not fully understand. Something had snapped inside him on the reef. He knew that now, and there was no way to tether the disparate halves. He had forgotten so much, entire annals of his previous life. Little of it remained, scraped away as it had been by the Dark Eldar. So he sought solitude when he could, not for contemplation like his adopted brothers, but to try to be still just for a moment. Even at the edge of the derelict shanty, where the clutter of humanity was not so strangled by the overcrowding at its core, life still gasped and scratched for air and light. Warren would describe it adequately. The people like cattle in their murky tenements. A hive was a collective, but it was also a hub of industry and labor. Upon reaching the extremity of the settlement and the limits of his own imagined rope, the vista that unfurled before the ex-black dragon as he looked back was one of squalor, a stinking fetor, a pit of spiritual apathy. Its inhabitants left to scrape an existence from rock. Fear clung to this place in a filthy shroud, curling Zartath's lip into a snarl as he felt the apathy and despair as palpably as furnace heat. The captain would chastise him for such disparaging thoughts, but compassion and empathy were not amongst Zartath's virtues. Zartath gave a bitter smile. "Captain," he murmured, more like whelp master. He was under no illusions about his role and his leash. "I am a savage beast." The smile became genuine. "Still a prisoner, then, albeit one with roaming privileges." Putting distance between himself and the loathsome dregs of humanity had not eased his agitated mien. Zartath's teeth were still on edge with the keening, and he wondered if it was something to do with his mutation, if he was somehow made differently to other Adeptus Astartes. With his comrades all dead on the reef, he had no frame of reference anymore, but was vaguely aware of a change manifesting in him that had begun with the first of those tortuous days at the hands of the Dark Eldar. Crouched at the briny water's edge of a sump pond, Zartath tried to still his mind. It was vast and dark as the pond, like a rotten canvas, and stretched for some distance into the shadows. A child dressed in rags scurried at the pond's fringes, but was careful to maintain a safe distance from the hulking, cloaked figure at the bank. Zartath drew deeper into his hood, abruptly self-conscious of the horned nubs upon his pate and the fangs that crowded his bestial mouth. "I am a monster. Bless the curse," he muttered to ward off a sudden pang of melancholy. The words were part of an old black dragon mantra, one in which they celebrated their physical aberration and embraced it. He remembered so little of his old life, but knew that at least. Zartath felt a fresh curse affecting him now, a malady of the mind, and possibly even the spirit, not the body. He tensed his forearm, and the bone claw sheathed beneath the skin tore out, a thin line of his blood limning the razor edge of the distended radius. He looked up, but the child had gone. The sump pond burbled and spat as something moved beneath its viscous depths, but was wise enough to stay hidden. An outflow pipe feeding the sump pond trickled thick, fetid ooze. Doubtless other things travelled its ironclad concourse, and with that thought, Zartath belatedly realised the child had borne a spear. It was hunting. Zartath stood up, jerking the bone blade back into his arm with a minute muscle movement. As he turned his head to the pipe's mouth, the throbbing in his skull intensified the way the auditory of a voxcaster did when angled directly at the receiver. He drew closer, only half aware that he was ankle deep in the sump pond. Behind him, Zartath heard a voice. It was a warning, but the keening grew louder with its siren call, and he was powerless to ignore it. Creeping closer still, the foul water up to his shins and beginning to corrode his armor, Zartath tried to discern the nature of the sound. Part static, part plaintive wail, it was impossible to identify. He needed to get closer. Something seized his leg, a clamping of jaws not so dissimilar from a vice. Zartath was turning, the throbbing in his skull reaching a crescendo. His blood pulsed with it, a deeper refrain. And just before he felt his head was going to explode, he passed out. The coppery tang of blood filled his mouth, and as soon as Zartath tasted it, he knew it did not belong to him. Head throbbing, he tried to stand, but staggered and collapsed before he had even managed to get to one knee. "Stay down," snarled an angry voice inside his head. Even Zartath's subconscious was belligerent. "Find your bearings." He did not need to open his eyes to know he was indoors. It felt like a small chamber he occupied. The floor was hard and cold, but metal rather than stone. Slick, too, the rough fabric of his cloak was adhering to it. A viscous liquid pulled lightly at his fingertips as he moved them. They felt something else, too, something sharp against the haptic nerves, Zartath's bone blades. He could not remember unsheathing them, but then everything had gone black after the edge of the sump pond. The keening, he recalled that. It had diminished to a dull ache, just audible above the faint patter of rain against the roof. No, not rain. The dripping sound was emanating from inside. The smell hit Xartath last of all, but near overwhelmed his olfactory senses. It was everywhere, as pervasive as the reek of filth that clung to the underhive like a miasma. At last, Xartath opened his eyes and left sleep behind. With waking came horror. The room was dark, but the walls and floor and even ceiling shone wetly in the ambient light. Black against black, Xartath knew the shade well. He had painted with it, though scarcely regarded what he did as art. And in all the blood that coated every surface, that stank with charnel acerbity, that dripped down from ceilings and door frames and the slats of half-broken windows, were two bodies, or the remains of such. A butcher's leavings had more definition than the offal trailing steam in the chill underhive air. The same blood discoloured Xartath's claws, clothing them in a glistening dark sheen. The boy at the sump pond. The memory was not a pleasant one, for it led Xartath towards an unpleasant conclusion. He had been hunting, because this was where he lived. Past tense. Horrifying clarity crashed in on Xartath as he fled and as he felt a sudden claustrophobia threaten to choke him. He ran outside and emerged into a place he did not recognize. He was still in the underhive of Molior, no longer on the same bank of the sump pond. A vast lake of effluence did stretch out before him, though, and it took him a moment to realize he had traversed the pond or been ferried across it. Through the mist of pollutants rising from the surface of the sump, Xartath saw the settlement. As his bearings slowly returned, other things became apparent, too. Rain was falling, or some approximation of what passed for rain in the underhive of Molior. The runoff from an atmosphere condenser, a malfunctioning hydration compressor. It fell in heavy sheets but was laced with chemicals, acidic and alkaline agents that would scorch flesh. Xartath willed it to burn, but his enhanced physiology would not oblige him. It cascaded down his face, his chest and arms, washing away the dark blood but not purifying. He watched it spill in black runnels from his exposed bone claws and pool at his feet. In his mind's eye, the blood remained, and though he had no memory of it, he knew what he must have done to earn this stain. The rain hammered him, but Xartath knew as he threw back his head to howl at the imagined gods of a false storm that it could not cleanse the darkness in his soul, or the darkness of whatever he had wrought with it. When his throat grew hoarse from screaming, he slumped down again, down into the filth where he belonged, and cradled his head. The keening, always the keening. It spoke to him in octaves of pain, and it was getting worse.